Hello, and welcome to today's A Marvelous Lunch Break. I've just had a message from 2 days in the future to let you know that Sentinels may or may not be coming to absorb your superpowers and use them against you. For example, Anna, they may be coming to talk really fast until your head explodes. Or Martin, they're gonna make you roll your eyes or something. I don't know. Actually, wait. It turns out something different just happened 50 years ago and we don't need to do any of that. Instead, we just need to review 2014's X-Men Days of Future Past right now on the podcast and everything will be okay. That's right, no problems for humanity or mutant kind at all. They said if we do this, everything's solved. Well, how about that? I guess we better get on with it then. So, first up...
What? That intro started really well and went rapidly downhill.
How do you mean it went rapidly downhill?
I disagree. I, you know, mixing it up, messages from our future selves. I'm into it.
What would be your message from the future?
Yeah, Dan, what's your message? What were the Sentinels coming to make you do?
I don't know, do intros obnoxiously loud from the end of time? Jeez, I'm so sorry. I just try and add a little variety and humour into your lives.
I appreciate it.
So, Anna, are you okay?
I'm great. Feels like it's been ages since we've been here. Only been 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know. Mine. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm great. The sun's out. Gun's out.
But how were you 50 years ago?
Non-existent.
Fair enough. Well, if you could pass a message to your past self... What would it be?
Oh, we're going there? At what age? What, in the 70s?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Probably what some investment tips.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think you would... if you were in the 70s, if you had been in the 70s, what do you think you'd look like? What would be your
bell
dress
bottoms.
Code?
Oh. I'd be all over the flares.
There were some awesome outfits.
Crop top.
Yeah. Raven's walking through the airport outfit with the hat, the crop top.
Knitted yellow crop top, yeah. I think. Yeah. Big Panama hat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were some good styles.
A lot of weed. I think I'd be very good in San Francisco in the 70s.
A lot of weed.
just see me now. Panama hat and a lot of weed.
Great. Well, now we know your vibe. We're all done.
I'm wearing a Panama hat right now.
I don't know what I'd have been like in the 70s. I've not really thought about like 80s, I think I'd
have been such a dude.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think
you'd
so.
Been in a skate park.
Yeah.
Oh, God, but I could be in a skate park today. First time I ever got a skateboard, my friend said the first thing you're just going to do is go down this, like, my driveway. And his driveway was like this. And, like, about...
It's a right that, degree angle for
yeah,
our listeners
steep,
there.
It was,
yeah, sorry. It was, like, a pretty harsh angle.
Yeah.
Or it was a pretty groovy angle. And I hit a loose flag paving about 1 foot down.
Oh, no.
Done. Never went on a skateboard again.
Gutting.
I went on it once again, but on grass. So you can imagine. Really and not high. Sorry, not on grass. Like the skateboard was on a grass surface.
Damn.
Oh, God. So that's about as wild as I get, unfortunately. So, said hello to you guys. Be wrong if we didn't say hello to all our new listeners as well this week and our returning listeners from around the world. If this is the first time you're tuning in or if you're back from the future past for more, do know there are spoilers for films that may or may not have happened depending on where you are in the timeline. And if you're listening to us from yesteryear or now you're back in the future of days past, please remember to review and subscribe either previous episodes, future episodes, or this episode that you may or may not like to hear in the future. Also, remember to follow us on our new old Instagram. Anna, what's the details?
Marvelous Lunch Break.
Which at the moment is essentially a 9-grid of Anna.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I'll put some more pictures of me and you up, Dan. I'm sorry.
Perfect. Okay, on with the show. So if you didn't get that, we've been watching 2014's Days of Future Past. Now, Anna, are you going to summarize this movie in a minute for us or not?
Yes, I am.
Are you ready? I mean, you're taking a big, big sip of water, and that's a pint glass. You better not spill that pint glass around all these electronics.
I won't. I promise.
Sealed glasses and receptacles only around here. So, what? How many episodes is this? Did you have a bit of a streak for there?
Of failing.
Yes, I didn't want to say the F word, but.
So I'm 4 for 4 for the fails.
Right. Okay. So what? This is episode 8.
Yeah.
So now you've got chance to have a 50% win rate this season.
Oh, man.
So I believe in you.
Okay.
And
I believe in the fact that your A4 piece of paper is literally in half.
I know.
Oh, wow. That is short. That's an A5 piece of paper.
I've gone for a different technique. We can discuss it afterwards, depending on its success.
Okay. So, different technique.
Yep.
A new beginning.
New beginning.
Time for you to rewrite the days of future past. Is something. I promise, Martin, I will stop with that.
Now.
That janky stuff now. Are you ready?
So ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Listeners, sit back, relax. Anna, 3, 2, 1, go.
Open on a bleak and desolate, no natural light future where sinister shapeshifting sentinels have hunted mutant kind to a near extinction. Old enemies Charles and Eric team up with old ex-favorites and some new awesome mutants to perpetuate a crazy timey-wimey plan to send Logan's consciousness to his 1970s body to stop a militant Mystique from offing Sentinel Creator Bolivar Trask and kickstarting total mutant crackdown. Now in 1973, after puncturing waterbeds and killing thugs with bone claws, Logan rocks up to the X-Mansion to find a drugged-up, powerless Moby Charles. Logan fights Beast, appeals to Charles' love for Mystique, and finally Charles decides to stop being a dick. And it's time for an epic prison break to add Eric to their mission. They recruit teenage super speedy Quicksilver to spring Eric from the Pentagon in the most awesome use of slow-mo in cinematic history. Now in Paris, after some airborne tantrums, the trio stop Raven's assassination attempt in the nick of time. But oh, Kelso Freeze. Eric's double-crossed crew tries to kill Mystique and plans once again to bring mutants to power with lots of over-the-top antics and human death. In the future, the X-Team is biting the dust hard in a heartbreaking Sentinel showdown until Mystique saves Nixon from Magneto and decides to spare Trask's life, restoring future harmony and thankfully wiping out 6 movies worth of X-Men canon.
Stop!
Yes!
It was 1 minute.
Oh, come on.
-7 seconds.
Yay! Yeah.
You did what? 53.1.
Wow.
Yes.
Smashed it.
Yes.
And you know what? I was thinking, oh, you're going to do this in 30 seconds and it's a bit of a
false victory. You were going to cheat it.
But 53, you got a lot of words in there. So tell us about your new strategy.
So I went back to how I used to write for the 20-second ones. And I was like, you know what? Let's write it as a 20-second and then I'll add a little bit more to that rather than writing. So what I have been doing more or less is writing the 2 minute and then trying to cut it down to a minute.
So you, instead of like writing a really long dissertation and trying to cut out 3,000 words.
Exactly.
You wrote a short dissertation and then tried to hit the minimum word count.
Exactly.
Perfect. And it worked, right?
It seems to have worked.
So you're spot
Yay.
On. Well done, Anna. I'm going to give you an off microphone round
I'll do it
of applause. There
Thank
we go.
You. Thank you. It's good to be back. Good to be back.
Some nice audible sound there. Listener, so I'm sure you're up to speed now. If you've not seen X-Men Days of Future Past, just go back. You know on podcasts, you can press the slow button.
Oh, yeah.
You can listen to this on 2 times if you want to hear Anna say that a little bit more coherently. But you did perfect.
Okay.
So now, we're like 10 minutes in or something now. Before we even get on with talking about the movie, tell us about the snacks that are right in front of us.
So the snacks today... A little bit more. I couldn't think of a good like themed snack. I try to sometimes link it
retro
to
retro snacks from your childhood.
Yeah, or you know, 70s style, just something that goes with it. But that didn't
things
really
come. Found at the back of the cupboard that we haven't eaten in 30 years,
perhaps, or like things that were super trendy back in the day. And I don't know how these fit in, to be perfectly honest. They're wasabi peas. They're one of my favorite snacks. I think more than anything, I was motivated by the fact that we needed a little bit of like a oomph injection into the, you know, we're coming up onto the end.
And I feel like wasabi, I don't know about you, but I think it probably had a moment where it was like a trendy new flavor that everyone's like, oh my God, it comes
Exotic.
In wasabi now. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
why is it in a tin?
Plastic
just because everything was tinned in the 70s.
I guess so, yeah. We're just coming off the Cuban Missile Crisis. Everyone was worried the world was going to end in a nuclear holocaust, so therefore, stock up on the tins because that will save you.
These are good. I'm going to say hot.
I'm not going to carefully pick out. I'm going to...
Are you going to decant? Okay, I'll decant as well. And I got mini eggs. I bought mini eggs because it's Easter.
Leftovers.
Why are they in plastic?
Oh.
Because that's the world we live in, Dan.
Well, you asked about the tin. I just thought, you know...
No, but I was asking the tin whether you bought it specifically...
Nah,
because it was in a tin.
Oh, yeah. I'm regretting the decant. These are both spicy and very wasabi. Ow.
They're flaming, man.
This is I'm gonna
fiery.
I've got maybe 10 in my hand and I'm gonna take the whole episode to eat these. So
I thought you can say you would take them all at once.
Hand play. Do you want me to shot them?
No, God.
Shall
no.
I shot them on the pod?
Yeah, shot it.
What
do
can
you
I record it?
Do you want me
we don't have any content.
I'm not doing wasabi pea shots on the pod. Come on. Oh fuck, I've said this now.
We've got so much content of me on the pod. Listeners, if you want to see Dan eat a bunch of wasabi peas.
I'm going to have to have my bottle.
This pod has gone wildly off pace now.
Oh, dear. Right. Okay. Here we go. Right? I'm going to shot wasabi.
This is what people did in the 70s.
Yeah.
If I throw up.
Oh, the worst use of ASMR ever. Okay.
No flinch. Oh! It's all right.
Breathe through it. Breathe through it, Dan.
But if you breathe through your nose, that sometimes makes it spicy.
So bad. This is not nice at all. It's all of
So it's like mushy wasabi peas.
It's in my nose. Oh, that's horrible. No.
Can you read the cast, please?
Okay, on with the cast. Tears and booze, please, for Hugh Jackman.
When are you going to swallow?
I've been swallowing.
Should we have a quick chat about Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
Please. I need a minute.
All right. Hugh Jackman. I thought this was a really good showing for him.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked, mostly, I loved his entrance with him and Charles when they kind of step off the plane. It felt very Shakespearean almost. You had like the king and his, what is that word? Like his runet or something, his bodyguard mm-hmm. kind of with him. And I just felt their presence really strongly the second they rocked up on screen. So I loved his future self. I just
have a mini egg.
He seems like someone who is like quite, like, comfortable in this apocalyptic future. It's almost like...
Well, he can't really... Could he get killed? By a Sentinel?
Sentinel.
It's hard to imagine, like, what the Sentinels could do to him. Because we've sort of talked briefly about, like, the kind of level of his invulnerability. Supposedly, provided there's even just, like, a few cells of him left, he can regenerate fully. But it's more of the fact that, like, he seems like someone who... You know, from what we know of Wolverine's past, he's been through all these wars. I imagine there was always a part of him that was like, yeah, of course, this is where we'd end up, like full on war all the time, post-apocalyptic living. And he seems like he's just kind of accepted it. At least that was like his mannerism and characteristics. But then I loved his 70s self too. It's great.
I liked it when he was naked in the 70s.
That
was
a good one.
It did. And I know this is because I've got Wolverine fatigue, but... It'd be great if a different character went back to the 70s.
Sure.
Like seeing it through someone else's eyes. Like it's always Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine is always center stage in every X-Men film.
So, I'm back. By the way, that was horrible. It all sat on the end of my tongue.
Ooh.
Like all of the flavor from all that was end of the tongue and then in the nose when I started to swallow. And the water didn't help. It just helped swish the flavor around.
So it extended it.
Yeah, it turned into, like, mashed wasabi peas.
But you're awake now, right?
I'm fine. I'm good to go. So, I'm going to ask you a question. Not an unfamiliar question.
Oh, no, don't do this again.
Hugh Jackman, greatest portrayal of a superhero. Anna? Greatest portrayal of a superhero, yes or no?
Ask us that question after Endgame.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel like, you know, it's a question we've been picking up for... a while, and I kind of go back and forth, but it sort of goes to the conversation that we were having in Logan about whether or not you can actually call Logan a superhero. And I think I get what you're saying, Martin, about how again it's through Wolverine's eyes, like he gets to be front and center again. However, I think at this point they were very much trying to like have that connective thread. And at the end of this film, if it's to believe that this has wiped out all future, like all our past movies, everything that we've seen, in some ways, until we got Logan, it kind of was his send-off. Like it was supposedly like the last time you'd see him in as this iteration of him of himself. So it's really hard for me to imagine who else it could have been that I would have felt a connection to. Who would you have liked to have gone back?
Do you want to go through the cast first and be rejogged?
Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you've got someone that comes to mind.
Rogue?
Yeah.
That'd have been interesting. Her figuring out what the 70s is.
Yeah.
What is a 70s? But this is the thing is that they're not sent back. They're sent back into their own brain.
Yeah.
So there'd have to be someone alive.
Yeah, and that was the why it had to be.
Yeah, because remember, it was Charles was like, all but me, and Kitty was like, you can't, it will tear you apart.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolverine.
But I guess
if only we had someone who couldn't be torn apart.
Yeah.
But I guess they storylined it so it had to be Wolverine.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's the conclusion. I was like, they could have easily storylined it that it was physically sent back or something like that. I guess. You know, it doesn't seem like too much of a stretch.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure in the comics, it's.
Wasn't this your comic?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. It was. I was wondering why I read that. I was like, why is that in my mind? Yeah. So on our birthday.
So by the way, in the comic that I'm now a master of.
Well, it's funny. So your birthday gift to me for our birthday episode was the Days of Future Past.
Oh yes.
Mini book. Hilariously though, it could have been called Days of Future Past, but it was almost more like the Kitty Pryde book. And the Future Past segment that this movie was based off was actually an incredibly small, like very small portion of it. And Kitty features much more heavily as the person who, well, she's the one who gets sent back and like changed all that. I cannot stress it, like it's so short. I don't know if you know that story's been redone somewhere else where it's a longer piece, like a full graphic novel or something, but in this book it was only like one issue's worth.
So do you think Ellen Page could have held this movie?
I don't. I love Ellen Page. Meh. It would have been a very different kind of film. I think actually if it had been written differently, like yeah, she has the gravitas of an amazing actor who definitely can have a movie centered around her, but it would have had to have been written very differently, I think.
Do you think it could have been a Captain Marvel? You know, like in terms
maybe.
Of that sort of moment.
We're
talking 2014. It could have been 5 years ago now that we had the first full female-fronted superhero movie.
Mystique?
Well, but she was the one they're fighting against. I like Mystique's journey in this, actually. I wouldn't have wanted to change that. Should we finish with the cast?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, we've barely started. Right, okay. Cheers and booze. And this is a long... This is almost as long as Infinity War.
Yeah. Okay.
So... Keep your energy high. I want proper cheers and proper boos.
All right.
James McAvoy as Charles Xavier.
Boo.
Michael Fassbender as young Magneto. Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique.
Yay.
Halle Berry as Storm.
Yeah, really good.
I was really happy to see her.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. Wow. Take some ass, actually.
Nicholas Holt as Hank or Beast.
Yeah.
Hank Beast. Okay.
Yeah, good.
Anna Paquin as Rogue.
Okay, she wasn't in my version. She was there for like a minute.
Yeah, but I mean, she's got a good agent because she is up this billing.
She was in my version, the Rogue Cut.
Yes, this elusive Rogue Cut. I did not know this was a thing.
Right, okay, let's...
We'll come
to this.
Ellen Page as Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage as Bolivar Trask.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Sean Ashmore as Iceman.
Oh, Bobby.
Yeah.
Omar Sy as Bishop.
Yep.
Yes, yeah.
Evan Peters.
If that was made today, that'd be Idris Elba, wouldn't it?
Totally. I mean,
he plays that in Homedom.
Evan Peters as Quicksilver.
Yay!
Moves really fast.
Do you not remember who this is?
Is he the one who jumps through the portals?
No, that's Blink. Quicksilver is the one who springs Magneto from prison.
Oh yeah, he's good. Yeah, I like him.
Moves really fast. Not Quicksilver, who was Kick-Ass from the Age of Ultron movies. No.
Who was better?
Same, but different. Who was better? He was better. Let's get to it.
This one was better.
Josh Hellman. What a cool name, as Bill Stryker.
Much for muchness.
Yeah. He was a fine present, but like, meh.
You know, Stryker is, I think, just probably one of the characters that breaks the whole series still.
Yeah.
In that he's inherently
He's the wrong
ageless.
Age every time we see him.
Yeah. Like, I swear he's older than when we see him in Wolverine.
Yes. I can't remember now.
No. Or is he super...
He was definitely younger in this, he's younger. So, the stages of Strikers, I would say, would be him.
The stages of Strikers.
Future Past, Wolverine Origins...
X2.
Wolverine First Class? Not Wolverine First Class.
X-Men First Class.
Yeah, that seems to be the age.
Something
anyway.
I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe there needs to be a Stryker origin story movie.
Oh, God, no.
Daniel Cudmore as Colossus.
Yeah.
Bing Bing Fan as Blink.
Such a cool character. Yeah. Wanted more of her.
Aidan Canto as Sunspot. Which one's Sunspot?
So he was sort of like the pyro of this.
Yeah. Fire things.
Yeah.
Cool. Boo Boo Stewart as Warpath.
Yeah, also really cool X-Men. Not barely in it, but like, I like that his powers just seem to be mostly like, he was like far-seeing, he could predict conflict oh, yeah. coming. And then just like...
Could come in.
Yeah, and then just like fought people a lot, but I thought he was cool.
Lucas Till as Havoc.
Oh, yeah, he was in it very briefly.
Briefly.
Very briefly.
At the end, these are just people at the end, but they've got big notable names. Famke Janssen as Jean Grey, James Marsden as Scott Summers, Toad.
Oh yeah.
Working in the fast food outlet.
Oh yeah, who would hire him to work in the kitchen? I'm sorry, I know it's discriminatory, but it looks like he has a skin disease.
And finally, do you know who we've missed?
Ian McKellen?
Yes, that's Magneto.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was good. I thought both him and Patrick Stewart.
Yeah,
again,
they were good in this film.
So that's good. The final one. Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick Stewart, yeah.
As Professor X.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. He gets a yes.
Yeah. Again, incapacitated in the third act, as yeah. always happens to him.
Wow. I mean, that is, once again, the Charles Xavier sort of... I become useless after 50 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, so do I.
Yeah, sounds like my Friday night. So, I've got down as a talking point on here, just we're going to do old versus young.
Mm.
So, old Magneto versus young Magneto.
In what, like a fight? Portrayal?
Portrayal and also what they do in this movie. Mm. Both the characters, not necessarily the actors, but more the characters.
Okay.
In this movie. Old Magneto, young Magneto, who do you think had the better showing?
Well, I mean, sort of as we talked about in First Class, like Fassbender is such a great presence in these films. He brings like a level of gravitas, but also just like believability to the role of Magneto. You know, considering we got Sir Ian McKellen in the first few, and I thought he was fine, but he definitely had more of like a kind of camp swagger going on to his portrayal. And whereas Michael Fassbender, like, he can be so scary, like when you can actually feel like a person who would have this power and capability is capable of true destruction and devastation. And I think you get that from Fassbender more than we ever really got from Magneto. Even when he's not using his powers, he still has that kind of level to him that you're like, let's not piss that guy off. But I did like Ian McKellen in this as well, particularly in the end when he's fighting against the Sentinels and sacrificing himself to try to keep Logan in the past a bit longer. I thought it was nice to see both sides of them on there.
And I think young Magneto is like scary because he's ruthless, but he's so quick at acting. Like, not acting as an actor, but as in, like, he comes up with an idea or something, what he wants to do, and then he does it, and there's no way of going, no, wait, stop, listen. And it's like, he's just done it. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you've not got that minute to get in there. Mm. And I guess that's where Charles being able to get into his brain was so, you know, powerful, because he couldn't just physically stop him, but he could get in there really quick. And that's what's scary about him for me.
I just think young Magneto is a bit more layered and there's a bit more interest. Like old Magneto, I'm like, oh, he's the guy who does metal. And that's pretty much it. Whereas young Magneto, it's like he's a bit of a spy. He's a bit, you know, he's a bit rogue. He doesn't quite know what's going to happen with him. There's just a bit more like elements to him.
Yeah.
Whereas old Magneto is like, well, he'll probably shut
What do you think caused him to lose those things throughout his life? To turn into the old Magneto we know.
Age?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think probably, sort of given the written actions for older Magneto, especially in like Last Stand and things like that, I would say they probably would have hoped that actually the seriousness and gravitas that Fassbender brought actually was being displayed in the older Magneto, but I don't know. I think Magneto, rather, the main difference is older Magneto doesn't do things as much in isolation anymore. Mm. Like, he seems to see the benefit of having actually a group of people to his cause, to sort of have a the weight of a lot of people rather than him just, you know, effing stuff up on his own, even though he's fully capable of doing that.
So. And I like that there is escalation as well. So, you know, in First Class, his thing was kill this guy.
Yeah.
And now in this one, it's like kill the president and his other people, but just show that mutants are stronger and we're here.
Yeah, so put the fear of God. Bend,
you know, kneel, essentially. But then X1, he's like, oh, just kill all humans. You know, so it's taken him, maybe he's just soured over the years from trying to be lenient in his devastation.
Yeah.
To eventually he's just like, you know what, let's just kill him. Let's just do away with him. And then X2, it's, yeah, we're going to kill him again.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's sort of like what my wrap up was, like, bring mutants to power again with lots of really over the top antics and killing so many people. Like, it almost shows, like, not a great work ethic that at his very late stage of life he still has not managed to kill all humans, because that was it seemed like he was amping up to that for a very long time and just never seems to pull it off. So
his plans are very short. Do you know what I mean? It's one, they all lead up to one big moment where I feel with his powers he could have, you know, infiltrated something over many years.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, poison the water system.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even, like, the way he infiltrates the Sentinels, like, use the metal to then be the one who has control over them, rather than using that behind the scenes, like, say they were deployed, and then instead of killing mutants, they kill humans or go on a rampage, like, the public would turn against that program quick. But he chose instead to do this huge show of force, and so rather than, like, doing something sneaky that probably would have worked better in many ways, he's all about, like, the bombastic, wipe them out approach.
So the other side of the fence, then, old Xavier or young Xavier?
I think my feelings about young Xavier have been made perfectly clear throughout X-Men First Class.
Are these your feelings about James McAvoy or feelings about young Xavier?
Young Xavier, he's an absolute twat, and he's even more insufferable in this film.
Do you think twat is the harshest word that we've had on the podcast so far?
Maybe.
Do we need to start putting an explicit tag on this thing?
He could just be insufferable.
I mean, you've said it now.
Well, yeah. The thing that I didn't really like in this film is, like, how much time we spent, like, on a plane brooding at each other.
Yeah,
there was a lot of being on a plane time.
Something that everyone should find relatable.
And he's doing this, like, junky bit in the room, like, looking at pictures of Mystique that is framed.
That was weird.
It was just all a bit like, woe is me, everything's bad, I'm tragic. Not like, I'm the most powerful mutant to ever live, bar, you know, Jean Grey. And Apocalypse.
And potentially Emma Frost.
But, you know, well, there now I don't know why he's upset. but yeah, it's just like, he never really, like... To say that he's meant to be so smart, he never really saw the bigger picture or really understood. I don't feel like he's ever, like, really learned anything about himself. So I really don't understand the transition from young. I kind of get young Magneto to old Magneto. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that he's kind of, it's not necessarily mellowed, but his rage is decreased and all that kind of stuff.
His vision's changed.
Yeah. He knows the strings to pull. Mm. Whereas I don't really see how young Xavier transitions to old Xavier, apart from the Mystique bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's never really seemed wise as young Xavier.
Well, so the rewatch for this was interesting for me, because I did kind of remember, like, Charles going on a bit more of, like, a more measured journey on this. So, like, when we first see him, he's, like, absolutely consumed with self-pity, and he's taking this drug because he can't handle the voices anymore, like, listening to people's thoughts is now tormenting him. And then it kind of all supposedly leads up to this big revelatory moment at the end, where he's in Mystique's head, and he says, you know, I've been trying to control you my whole life, and you've got Beast telling Charles, like, shut her down, like, you know, knock her out, make her, like, just, you know, get rid of her. And Charles makes a choice, like, no, I'm going to let her decide, and the chips are going to fall where they may, depending on her decision.
And also, like, Jean Grey will come along in another 5 years, and I might control her for her life.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the interesting thing, isn't it? That, like, that was supposed to be his big, like, no, I'm not going to control you anymore. And at the very least, he admitted that that was something he had been doing, like, since she was a very little girl, and he, like, adopted her, as it were. All that being said, like, there were some beats with him that I did quite like. I think, you know, despite the airborne tantrums that were happening in the plane, I really liked when Magneto was just, like, tearing him a new one, being like, you're pissed off at me because I got caught? Like, look what you've done. You hid from the world everything that you could have been and all that you could have done. And I saw that fight with Magneto yelling those things at him, more than anything, is actually the thing that would put him back on the path of opening a school, nurturing mm-hmm. young people. Because Magneto's right. Like, he let everyone down way more than Magneto did.
So just one question then, a little bit of a throwback to a few minutes ago, before we move on to the next old v young. If you could have a picture of any X-Men on your desk, who would it be?
Oh.
Are we talking bedside table or work? Because the answer will change.
You specify. Well, if there's two different ones, then you let me know.
Bedside table. What do I know these people? Are we like friends?
Pass. You're Charles Xavier.
I'm Charles Xavier.
And you get a work photo and a bed photo.
Work photo, I'd probably have Hank.
Really?
Like me and Hank at the White House.
Yeah.
Oh. Not like stadium White House, like nice White House. And at home, I'd probably have like me and Magneto in the Swiss Alps, like drinking.
Yeah. Nice.
Right before he popped some people in the head.
Oh no, they're dead behind us.
All right, okay. Anna, what about you?
That was a bit weird. They had a picture of Mystique in his bedroom. Yeah.
But also the picture wasn't facing him, it was facing the camera. Yeah, so he was like looking at the back of the picture.
Is that because it was turned around?
No, it's not like facing the door. I don't know.
Did he like...
Yeah.
But I guess it's when you go into people's offices, like, you know, they have photos that face you, I guess. People don't have
photos of their kids.
Yeah.
Strange. Yeah. Not the kids, not photos of your kids are strange, but I mean, it's strange that he had a photo Mystique.
Yeah. I mean, does he have any other meaningful relationships other than Magneto?
The women that he's mind controlling.
Yeah, because the other person I was going to say was like Moira, who wiped her mind without her permission. So
we need to sit down and talk about consent with Charles Xavier.
So Anna, who would you have?
Bedside,
you don't have to tell us if you don't want, and then desk, you don't have to tell us that.
I think you'd have Havoc in a crop top.
I would have Havoc, or you know, I've said on previous podcasts, anytime a Colossus is unmetalled and without his top on, has always been a lovely.
Why not metal?
Metal's fine.
You know, be your true self, is what Magneto would say.
But he's not as cuddly then. Like if he's all metal.
Well, neither is Mystique when she's scaly.
True.
I think I'd go for Storm.
Storm?
Ooh. Storm at the desk.
Like a pinup.
No, like a. Like hair everywhere, glowy eyes.
Hair everywhere.
You know, like,
yeah,
you know when
it's like up in electricity. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was
and then
cool.
The glowy eyes. Yeah. You know, the equivalent of that, the Thor in Infinity War moment. Like when she goes glowy eyed, full rage, I'd be like, that is a work vibe.
That final battle was so cool when it was like, you know, her lightning stuff all the place. Like, wanted to see like Storm kick some ass for so long. And she really brought it at that. Like that combined with Bishop's like shooty things, blinks, off
the
portals.
That bit of the film was so short.
I know.
It was on like, what, 5 minutes or so?
Oh, but it was so good. But then like when they all get like brutally killed. Like those deaths were brutal.
But there's not really like in any of the X-Men, or any of the recent X-Men films, there isn't really an elongated fight scene, is there?
No, I guess that's true.
Whereas I think probably because we're just used to, the recent
set.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I want like an Infinity War final battle, but with all of the X-Men powers. And we got like a bit of that in this film.
It's true. I don't watch the space. I feel like I remember one in Apocalypse.
Haven't seen it. No spoilers.
Okay. You've not seen Apocalypse?
No.
Oh,
you've never seen Apocalypse?
I've never seen Apocalypse. We covered this in like the first episode.
Have we?
What?
This is bringing up... What? Wow.
I've never seen Apocalypse. So...
Sorry for that. But yeah. But no, but you were right. Up to now, there hasn't been like a long, it's been more of those kind of like the short battle season with Charles with his fingers pressed to his forehead yeah. and like various.
But if you think about the opening scene of the 90s cartoon, yeah. it's like all the good X-Men and all the Brotherhood like running towards each other. And we got that moment in Civil War.
I've never seen
the
cartoon.
We got it in Civil War, but we never got it.
I was
going
to get a better reaction to that.
Should I finish my point?
Yeah, you can finish your point.
But we never really got a big X-Men versus the Brotherhood or X-Men versus something elongated longer than 5 minutes battle. Maybe that's what I'm missing from the X-Men films.
And I guess it always, with these fights, it always ends up as being like a poignant one-on-one.
Yeah.
Definitely. Or like a big thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Like a plane or a...
Where sometimes, you know, like the first Avengers movie is a great example where you just get that combined team up to do the final... you know, the final deed of winning.
Yeah. I mean, I guess also, so with the movie so far, though, especially with these, they haven't like really learned how to fight together. And that, I think we said in the Last Stand podcast, we were sad that we didn't see more of that, like their journey of like how learning how to like use each other's powers and the best like battlefield tactics. So yeah, I think if this final fight scene had been longer, we would have seen more of this, like how they've grown to...
Because the portal lady, she was like a really good example of how they did work together. Because someone would just start so running somewhere and she'd chuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great combo.
Yeah. Oh,
so good.
That was
good.
a top combo.
That over, like,
the Colossus, my favourite, the Colossus jump over the edge into the portal, like,
yes,
absolute cannonball.
Oh, that was so good. Or like, I mean, oh man, or the way people would like power up Bishop with like their powers,
and then she shoot through the thing.
Yeah, oh, that was such a good scene.
Great,
such a good scene.
Needs more combos.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the X-Men have such an ability to combo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, and we see it a little bit in the Deadpool movie, Deadpool 2.
Yeah, true.
So
true.
I think, you know,
I've seen that now.
Have you?
No.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that another time. That's what I was going to say.
Well, speaking of another time, can we talk about the title of the film?
Well, do you want my last old versus new first? Because important to be balanced to the third old new that we can do here. I was going to do Wolverine, but come on, that's a joke. Old Mystique versus new Mystique. Or old versus young Mystique, not new Mystique, sorry.
So, we don't get old Mystique in the film, but...
No, we don't.
Yeah. I mean, I think they did a really good job. I could see the connection of her journey. Even though she sort of leaves the battlefield, as it were, in future past, like her own woman, and we go off, but she is now on a more militant path, and I couldn't see, they've left it now in a way that she would never go back to Charles. She would never like kind of join up with his cause again. So while we at this point don't see how she and Magneto got back together after what they've just done to each other. I mean, he tried to kill, like, his plan was to kill her. Like, that was brutal. When he was dragging her backwards by the leg with a bolt, like, with a bullet in her leg. Like, that was crazy. Like, that was crazy.
I don't know why I'm going to eat these wasabi peas again.
Have a mini egg. And I think rewatching all of these films, the solo film I really want now is Mystique.
Yeah.
I really want a Mystique standalone film. And
what vibe would it be?
I think it could go down that kind of, not spy, but something that involves her espionage. Yeah, I said that about Black Widow as well, but I do think her joining the dots between each of these kind of phases in her life, where she was kind of a standalone assassin doing these kind of, you know, one-off saving of mutants from bad circumstances, her being in a bigger part of a jigsaw of something quite major, her having her friends turn against her. Like, I just think there's so many interesting bits. Mm. Even just taking the bits out of the film and, like, chucking them together in a half-hour piece would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, I feel like a Kill Bill, sort of.
Yeah.
I think, but with the idea of how she then becomes aligned to Magneto again.
Mm.
So it's like, what happened to you in your life? Because that's what I like about Kill Bill, is that you pick up the story throughout of, like, what's transitioned her from going back to the family life and then changing her mindset to then revisiting. Same as John Wick as well. Like, if you've seen that, how he's held up his assassin thing and he's not an assassin anymore, but he has a traumatic life event that causes him to become a badass again. Yeah. Mm. So I think that's the gap for me with Mystique, is that now you don't really like Magneto, but then, you know, in the future you're super aligned to him. Yeah. So how have you, what's your life event been that's got you back on that track? Mm. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Oh, great. That's a good point. Good job we sorted all that out. Martin, you were going to say the title of this movie sucks.
I just don't understand it.
Okay.
And I think it should be Days of Reinvigorated Timepieces. That makes a lot more sense.
Thanks, Martin.
Is that all you were doing? Are you just saying that? No.
I did re-listen to last week's. So the version of the future that we are introduced at the start of the film and at the end of the film with the Sentinels, those are the days of future past.
Yes. Well, yes.
The days of the future's past.
So those days where we're in future Ian McKellen world.
Apocalyptic, death.
Yeah, they are the days of futures. But they've not passed. This is what I don't understand. Because it should be days of futures that could have been.
So it's about changing
the past.
The days of the future's new past. Because the new future has a new past.
Yeah.
And these are the days of those new past. But for people in the old timeline, that is the future.
No, right. So I'm Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
What am I in?
You're in a timeline. So you are in a timeline not referenced in the title. So you are waiting for the future. And you see that the future is one where mutants have been erased by Sentinels. So you need to change the days of the future's past.
Okay. Yeah. So okay.
So you need, so let's try.
No, I get that. So if I'm looking to the future.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's terrible.
Mm.
And to stop that, I need to change the past.
Yeah.
Because we're on a wrong.
So what trajectory. We're looking at, what this movie is doing is looking at the new days of the potential future's past.
Okay. And that's not a phrase, is it, that's used in everyday life?
Dear God, no. I mean, I've certainly never encountered it. I don't know if it was used briefly once this movie came out, but it doesn't.
Back to the Future?
Days of Future.
Well, we could just call it that, couldn't we?
Yeah.
But what would you call this film?
Film?
If you wanted to name it something like Understandable. Days of Reinvigorated.
Timepiece.
Changing tomorrow is yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you do?
I mean, that's not what I would call it because that's lame. But
X-Men, two classes.
Second class. Graduate.
Future past class. Classes, you know, school's out.
X-Men Days of the Future.
Yeah.
No, but that we don't see any days of the future in this. We only see one day of the future.
X-Men, 2050.
But you spend hardly any time there. Like it's all like in.
It's all about the days of futures past.
It's the past days. So that's the thing. So it was weird though, because like the apocalyptic stuff was so like compelling and interesting, like because you got the coolest mutants, their powers and everything. But the big chunk of this movie that takes place in 1970.
That's bad advertising.
Yeah, but also like I felt like, despite the very short amount of time we spent in the apocalyptic future, that world felt a bit more developed than the 1970s one. Because, like, despite the costumes, the waterbed, the lava lamp, there's so much going on in, like, history at that point. Like, this was my problem with the first class movie as well. Like, you know, the civil rights movement has been, like, churning away in America as well, which doesn't get referenced in, like, any any capacity, but at least in future past, you've got the Cuban Missile Crisis that kind of grounds it to a place, whereas here, you've just got Nixon.
And the assassination of...
Oh, yes, the assassination of JFK gets referenced. But, like, I felt like that... I don't know, what do you think? Did you feel like you were in the 70s when you were kind of
I felt like I was in Washington in the old times.
In the oldie times.
Yeah, it, like, apart from the costumes,
yeah.
It just looked... old
standard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what was it like when the White House had a stadium around it?
Well, I wasn't around during that time, so I couldn't possibly.
Is there an analogy there for how everyone's like sat looking at politics as if it's some sort of
game?
Maybe.
Sport. Or entertainment, you know? Yeah, politics as a sport.
I mean, there's never been a stadium around the White House, if that's what you're asking.
There's never
me.
Been any Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
I mean, there might have been. You know, I said this the other night, right? Right now, our pasts, a second ago, our whole pasts might have been rewritten, but we didn't know about it, and we just know the new past. But actually, we might have lived a completely different future up until this moment, until someone went back in time and changed the Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Well, it's like that scene in, Big Bang Theory, where they both make the agreement, like, okay, if you're going to invent, if we ever invent a time machine, we're making an agreement to come back to this time and place to let us know. And they wait like 5 minutes. They're like, well, that's disappointing. So I think we could assume that thus far our timelines have been linear.
But we haven't agreed that, and it might be a force outside of our control.
It's probably Charles Xavier.
Yeah.
So this brings me on to my next.
Oh, there was a point to that. Okay, go.
No, I mean there wasn't, but it. Moved me on very nicely. So this movie changes the timeline of X-Men. And that isn't a new... This isn't a new thing for us to be talking about. So I'm not going to get into a big conversation about what has and hasn't changed. But are we all clear now, for the podcast and for the listening purposes, what the new timeline is?
Well, it's just new now, isn't it? So essentially, everything we've seen has been wiped out.
Like, so I think the movie plants a few seeds here to tell us what's happened, because they do the whole you can't change the things that happen. You know, like everything kind of happens anyway, so there's inevitable stuff.
Yeah,
and I think this movie suggests maybe that a lot of what we saw still happened, but kind of just a little bit different. So I guess going forward, we can assume that at least X1 and X2 happened, but maybe just slightly differently.
I don't think we can have this conversation until after Dark Phoenix. So, because...
That changes... Yeah, you're right.
Because it's an interesting point, isn't it? So, like, it was sort of the same conversation we had about Logan, because given, like, where Logan kind of came... The movie Logan, where it came out in just, like, cinematic releases, I was under the impression that was now the future of this new designated timeline. But, as you pointed out, it's sort of more been badged up as like the potential, like this was one of the time streams and
one
like
of the different days of future past.
Exactly, it could have gone. This is like the stream that it could have gone on, but it's since been said that's not the one we're living now. So I think, and because like the way I think I'd be best able to determine this is dependent on what happens to the characters in Dark Phoenix.
So note to reinvigorate this conversation after. Dark Phoenix.
Kind of what comes, what path, what trajectory.
You just seem happy with
Can
that.
We stop talking about time? It's really making me feel like I've no idea what's going on anymore. Okay. I don't feel like I'm here.
Okay.
I don't know where I am in my life.
Can we talk about time, but like in a different capacity? Mostly, my favorite scene of all the X-Men movies that we've watched so far.
Here we go.
And this is the best use of slow-mo in cinematic history. Quicksilver's busting Eric out of the Pentagon.
Better than The Matrix?
Yes.
Wow. You know, I thought when this movie came out, I was like, whoa, that's amazing. But then I wasn't too impressed with it this time. No, I mean, I was still like, whoa, that was cool.
Yeah.
But I wasn't super impressed with it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The Matrix is amazing. Like, and it was the first time that whole bullet time technology. It's super, super cool. However, this, like, it's really fun. You can kind of, like, see, like, how that would work. Like, this whole thing of, like, putting someone's hand up with, like, the slight pressure on the elbow so he's going to punch himself when time
and
goes normal again.
And you sort of saw some of them starting to have that impact, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, it was cool, don't get me wrong. I think my My frustration with that scene is, like, that was all that character came to in this movie.
Yeah.
And he just disappeared without reason, really, afterwards.
Here and was, like, really him. Unusually, like, the bastard child of Magneto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from?
I mean, because that's what he is.
It's canon.
But
it was totally unnecessary for this film.
I think it's one of those things where... I think it was, like, a fan wink to, like, okay. To the fans being like, we wanted to have this super speedy guy in here. He's a great character. Yes, we know, fans, what you're all thinking. So we're just going to add that line where he's like, oh yeah, my mom knew a guy who could manipulate metal. Like, if I was a kid, I'd be like, I don't need you to tell me more about what that means.
Turns out it's Yuri Geller's son.
He's going to stop Brexit. I really liked the bit before that where he... duct taped the guy to the side of the lift.
That was good.
And then when him and Magneto were back in the lift, he was just still there.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
that was so good.
The thing that we, and we probably talk about this in Apocalypse, but the thing that I really didn't, the thing that retrospectively makes me not like that scene as much is because they did it again in Apocalypse, which was a bit questionable. But then, I don't even remember at the time, but then Sky, I think it was, paid them, or BT, paid to film one of those with the cast.
I think I remember. So I don't remember, but I remember.
And
something
it was something about
it.
Like they had this like new home hub where basically
so it was like an advertising.
Yes, yeah, so like everyone was fighting over like using the internet, and Quicksilver like replicated the scene, but was like turning off everyone's devices and stuff. And that just made me like. So now every time I think of Quicksilver slow motion, I think of this like telecoms.
Oh,
ad.
That's such a shame. Yeah. That's such a shame.
Because I really, we can talk about this next fortnight, but them doing it again was just a bit of a shame, I think.
I mean, I'm definitely just talking about an isolation of this film.
And then he dies.
Oh, what?
He's not met an X-Men before in cinema.
Yeah, there's going to be some new, he's got a few new people to meet.
Speaking of new... and different. You have just introduced me to a concept of a rogue cut of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So please tell us.
What is a rogue cut?
So Rogue's not in your version whatsoever.
Only in the school at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. So
and does she have a brief, like, is she one of the people that's being herded with the collar on? I feel like I vaguely, anyway, maybe not.
So in,
the collar on.
Like in the very beginning, they're showing like the mutants who have been like branded with the like the marks across their face, like being pushed through those tunnels. They've been rounded up, and they're wearing those.
So she's not in that in my version. Okay. So in my version, and there's an interview with her online actually that's saying that she didn't know she got cut from the film until the film came out.
Oh, I remember hearing about that actually.
Yeah, which is pretty bad. So in my version of the film, something happens to Logan in the 70s.
Yeah.
And he releases his claws in apocalyptic time.
Okay.
And he stabs Kitty.
Okay, that does happen in our version.
So that, that happens.
Okay, so then she's like bleeding. Mm-hmm. So what happens then? Is she just bleedy?
She cut, like, Bobby sort of tends to her a bit. Okay. And like, throughout, like, Kitty gets her, she's obviously going in a bad way. And it's sort of one of those things, like, it adds a bit of a thing, like, is Kitty going to die before this finishes?
Okay.
And he'll come back because of that, or... Yeah, so it's just add another like timeline pressure, basically.
But it's like a scene.
Yeah.
And then it's not really referenced again.
So in this one, she's like about to die.
Yeah.
So then, let me get this right. Bobby, Magneto, and Charles leave the apocalyptic Chinese place, fly back to the mansion where Rogue is being they're trying to extract Rogue's powers from her to like max up the Sentinels
grim
even more, because obviously they've got Mystique's powers, but obviously with Rogue's powers as well, it'd be like ultra. So you know the kind of secret passageway the kids escape from in X2, Magneto and Bobby go through there and rescue her and then take her back to the Chinese place.
Oh, right.
And then Rogue let me get this right. I think Rogue absorbs Kitty's power, and then is the one doing doing the Wolverine.
And then does Kitty die, or is like Rogue?
I can't remember what happens after that. Unfortunately, I've got such a bad memory.
I'm so curious about this.
But I think if I'm remembering rightly, that's how the Sentinels know where the X-Men are because they follow the jetpack.
Interesting.
Oh. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it's a bit confusing because it's like, why do they want Rogue's power when they've got Mystique's?
Yeah.
And I think that complicates things.
Yeah.
But then you've got these kind of like nice moments with Bobby and Rogue.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Oh, I'm going to have to borrow your DVD. I'm really curious about this. So like, that must be like a good, at least 15 minutes of footage. Really bad for Anna Paquin. Can you imagine going to the premiere and being like...
All dressed up really nicely.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it adds much to the story.
No.
No.
But they should have told her.
Yeah, they definitely should have.
I think, you know, pull it to one side. Sorry, just so you're aware.
Because all the other X-Men are accounted for, because obviously Scott's dead.
Yeah.
Jean's
dead.
Dead. Storm's there. Bobby's there. Colossus is there. Kitty's there. There's no one else who's... I mean,
it's where the Pyro's now, Sunspot, but that's...
There's a
fiery guy, yeah.
So there's no one else who's like missing apart from Rogue.
Interesting.
Wow.
I do remember thinking like that's why I sort of vaguely, maybe I just put her in there because I was sort of like, where's Rogue? But like that first, again, these X-Men movies where they open up on like really grim scenes and like that, the people walking through the tunnels was very reminiscent of the opening into the concentration, the concentration camps and those horrible brandings that people had on their faces and everything. So I think my brain is just stuck Rogue in there with the collar and one of the people.
But also the grimness also when all the X-Men got killed at the end was properly horrific.
Yeah, yeah. Brutal.
Like when Storm died, I was scared first because it hit that
jump scare. Yeah.
Thing came out of nowhere and did that awful like screechy kind of noise, and then just like chucked her off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah,
it's like that's pretty brutal. And then like one of them gets their arm chopped off.
Like Colossus gets pulled. Like they pull him apart. Like quarter him.
Like smash Iceman's head, don't they? And
like none of them just die like a normal normal death.
All brutal, gross. Brutal. Like and like Blink got like stabbed three ways. And Bishop gets just like blah. It was so bad. But I remember being like, it's kind of one of those things where if you like subject it to like the scrutiny of cinema, like a cinematic mind, you're gonna be like, all right, this is probably gonna work out. But I think they did do a really good job of making it so visceral, and everyone's attempt to keep the Sentinels from the door, like Bobby trying to keep the ice going, Magneto pulling as much metal as he could to it before he died.
I like the bit where Magneto was pulling all the metal, and that felt really like Magneto like knew this was like he's always selfish, but sometimes he is selflessly selfish. He knew like if there's any chance of me regaining this, I have to do everything that I can, and I liked his kind of practicality of like I'm just gonna pull this. And like when he pushed the jet out into the kind of air for Storm to explode, that's him being really practical. I quite like that.
But then also like them getting rid of one of their means of escape, like that was a moment. I was like, whoa, you just blew up your plane. You're putting all your eggs in one basket now.
Wow. I thought that scene was, I think the Colossus one was the worst one for me, just because he's like, he got ripped and he's metal. Jesus. Like Iceman, I'm like, you're made of ice. But he's meant to be made of, like...
Indestructible.
Thick steel.
Yeah.
And there's this also, like, this effect with those Sentinels that reminded me of the thing in Thor as well. You know, in the first Thor, there's that...
Oh, yeah, the big steel face.
Yeah, because it has similar. The same kind of, I'm going to open my metal-y face and...
They were properly creepy. They were very creepy.
With the spiky arms as well, they were not. Yeah. Like, the old Sentinels were weird.
Yeah.
But these new ones...
Yeah. I mean, the old ones were definitely an homage to the ones that they were in the comics.
So like, I guess just really quickly, 1 minute on Trask.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I thought he was fine. It's kind of one of those things where I would have liked to have seen a little bit more... Like, when Mystique like infiltrates his facilities and she uncovers those autopsy reports and you see how like the Bug Girl and Azazel and other people have been
Here's the X-Men that we didn't want to keep in this
movie. I would have liked to have seen not more of that, but something like that showed more that he was a man of science. Like he seems someone that was purely motivated by like racism almost, and I think it would have been an interesting element to kind of big up the fact that like I'm also just like, I can't stop. Like, this is so interesting. Like, I want to pull these people apart. Like, the he had that kind of, like, weird, like, when Mystique fails at her assassination attempt and he's like, no, I want her alive. Like, he was clearly excited about getting her. And I would have liked a bit more of that. Like, he wasn't a...
You're like creepy lab moments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. As it was, he was just a dick. Like, yeah.
Yeah. He was there for that role, wasn't he? And that was it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, one final look. We've got to the end of our Cerebro collections.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you going to do with yours?
Well, I think we've talked about this in the past, but, like, these movies are always on television. Like, they have them as, like, reruns, like, constantly. So I've recorded Apocalypse
Apocalypse off of the television as well, because you text me to tell me.
Yes, I do it.
But, I mean, what should we do with our Cerebro collection? Should we donate them? Should we give them away?
Yeah, I think I am going to donate mine again. That's my plan.
If anybody's been listening to the entire series,
yeah,
send us a DM and we'll
oh yeah,
I'll pay for the postage. We can send.
Yeah, so we've got two Cerebro collections. If anyone wants them,
and they have X-Men 1, X-Men 2, X-Men 3, X-Men Origins Wolverine, Logan,
the Wolverine.
Wolverine. They don't have Logan in.
No, they don't have Logan.
And they've got First Class and Doff.
Yeah.
Doff.
we'll send you it. You need to, like, provide some receipts, though. Like, I want to see the screen cap of you having, like, completed listening to the podcast.
That's a lot. Podcast. How about you just tell us how much you would reinvigorate your timepiece? Yeah. And we will send you a copy.
Yeah.
First come, first serve. Yeah, first serve.
So we've got two. Give us your address. We have a lot of listeners in Australia. Are we willing to send it to Australia?
If you're not in the UK, I will send you a picture of the Cerebro collection.
We'll calculate some postage and we'll get back to you on that. You check out our Instagram for more details on the giveaway after this episode.
It feels
right?
Like a lot of admin all of a sudden.
Post, pop them in an envelope, send them to Australia.
Done.
We're fine. Or if you're from another country, I don't know, it depends. Are we allowed to send movies to
We'll look
countries?
Into it. DM us.
Okay, so that's all for today's show, I think. Has anyone got anything else that they can't possibly go without saying?
I feel like we've touched on everything. There was so much about this movie that I feel like we've already discussed in some form in some of the other films. Just, my opinion.
Just stupid young Charles.
No, but one thing I do, what we've done, I think, a fair amount of shitting on this movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. I just want to make that clear to everyone that this, of all the ones we've watched so far, maybe with the exception of X2 and followed very closely by Logan, this is
easy
favorite.
To talk about the we have a very difficult job because it's so easy to talk about the good things in a movie. The true talent is talking about bad things in a critical way.
Yeah. Exactly. Right?
People don't come to hear how good... I mean, you may do.
Yeah.
Please send us your opinions on X-Men Days of Future Past. We will share them.
Yes, we will.
I think for me, it's always with this one and with First Class, is my memory of them. I like them more in my memory than I do when I sit down to watch them.
Interesting.
So, like, this one, all I've really wanted to talk about has been the apocalyptic side of the film.
Yeah, likewise.
The 70s bit, didn't really enjoy that much. So I think... these are better with kind of rose-tinted Days of Future Past.
Yeah. And I mean, all I could think of since our last episode, and you said it, and you've talked about this a few times now, and then watching this, I was like, I would just love a Fassbender Magneto trilogy.
Yeah.
Just give me a Fassbender Magneto trilogy.
Or if it was like Origins Magneto... Magneto and Mystique, The Untold Story, and then
what's with the like the insanely gossip? Can we give me a third one?
That would be like Magneto, The Reckoning.
Nice.
Oh wow!
I would watch all of those,
and that would be like him and Charles, like proper showdown, face to face, Brotherhood versus X-Men.
Yeah,
and it'd be good. I think because Charles is a dick, he could be the bad guy of the series.
Well,
you know, Magneto would be like, oh, God, you're doing my head in, Charles. Literally. And it'd be like, you'd learn, you'd see everything from Magneto's perspective, yeah. And then Charles would be at the end.
Yeah.
You know, he's the dick of it all.
Oh, you guys.
I'd love a Magneto trilogy.
Yeah.
I do really like an origin story.
Yeah. Well, Disney's got them now. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, they've sort of said, like, it's going to be a long time till they do another X-Men movie. But the mouse has the X-House now, so... Yeah, anyway.
Oh, wow. Well, so, final thoughts, stay or go?
Totally stays.
I mean, it has to.
Has to stay.
Stay or go?
It can stay, but I'm still very confused about time.
Okay, that's fine. Everything is fine. Generally. I will keep this movie around absolutely as well. I think it's one of the best X-Men movies we've had so far after X-Men Origins Wolverine. Which is growing back in the rankings by the day, yeah. Right? Memories. Going through this, I was like, oh man, that is such a shit movie. But actually, it's one of the better movies.
Pretty sure if you listen back to our podcast as well, you were, like, before we watched it, you were a big proponent of the Wolverine as well. Like.
Yeah, that ended up a little bit worse. I don't think I quite realised how terrible the train scene was in that.
Anyway.
So, it's a full house.
Full house.
Stay from the three of us. Listeners, you let us know what you think of this movie as well over on our Instagram, Anna.
A Marvelous Lunch Break.
And if listeners want to find you on social media,
you can find me on Instagram, Anna Marvelous, 2 N's, 2 L's.
M-Dog?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Martin Loves.
M-Dog, where did that come from? and I'm at DVM Preston on Instagram. Thank you very much for listening. Please remember to subscribe, review us, get in touch. Go over to our Instagram for details about winning the Cerebro collection. We will speak to you again. Anna?
I've lost track of the schedule.
In some days
of future past, we'll be back.
Now, if everything goes to plan, today...
Today... We are watching...
We are all off to the cinema.
Yes.
And goddamn Avengers Endgame comes out.
Yeah.
So you will have listened to us last week talk about our predictions for Avengers Endgame.
Hell yeah.
If you've not, go back and listen to that now. Right?
I'm so excited.
If you have, get to the cinema and see Endgame... Let us know your hot takes straight away.
That's right, because next week we'll be giving our hot takes.
We will be giving our hot takes.
It's been so long.
Right. Well, thank you very much, listeners, for tuning in. It's been so long since we started this episode, so we should wrap it up. Have a wonderful week. We'll speak to you soon, and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Post credits?
Ugh, yeah, but it's...
What ones?
It's so weird. It's like, it's that pyramid, like, rearranging.
Oh, it's the four horsemen.
Yeah, and the four horsemen hanging out. Like,
I remember thinking that was, like, the most important thing in the world when I saw it in the cinema.
I remember watching it being,
wasn't even bothered about going to see Apocalypse.
Yeah. I remember watching it being like, what the hell is this? Like, I don't like it when it's, like, so enigmatic where you're just like, what? But why am I supposed to care?
I don't think they kill it in the post credits game as much as MCU.
And you've never seen Apocalypse?
I'm so excited for you to see Apocalypse.
Join us again next week for that. Goodbye.
Oh, bye.
Bye.